You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Wednesday, August 18th. I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Today's episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me Friday afternoon. Hopefully, we can get it going Friday afternoon to get in on the action. This is Nash Walker, writer at Twins Daily, lifelong Twins fan, bringing you 5 days a week coverage on the Minnesota Twins. Twins win today, win the series. That's their fourth straight series win. Jorge Polanco again. I think it's the fourth time in like 5 days, something crazy. Jorge Polanco walks it off for the Twins. Every single time the Twins need a big hit late, and that's not just like in extra innings when he's walked it off, or in the bottom of the ninth when he's walked it off. That also encompasses many times this year where he's tied games, taken leads in huge spots, and been just such an anchor for this Twins lineup for a lot of the year. And I expected him to bounce back. Like, we projected his season before the year, and I thought when he's healthy, I believed in his bat from the left side and from both sides, you know, but especially from the left side with that power, believed in it that he can really sting the ball from the left side and he can get it in the air. And he also takes really good at bats. He has great contact ability. He can, you know, hit from both sides of the plate. He's a good player. He's a good second baseman, and he's really important to this club. And so coming into this year, I thought he would bounce back. I didn't think he'd be like the anchor of the lineup. And some of that is there have been underperformances. Like, you know, you'd wish you'd gotten more, I think, this year, just from a counting standpoint, from Josh Donaldson. Nelson Cruz is traded. Miguel Sano, for the most part, hasn't gotten it done consistently. He's been really good recently. He had a great day today. We'll talk about Miggy and just some other guys that haven't given you nearly what you expected this year. And that plays into it, but I don't want to take anything away from what Polanco's done. He's been really, really great for the Twins all year. Walks it off again. He's like pacing. Andre Ethier. I saw a stat. The most walk-offs in a season is 7, I believe is the number. And Polo, I think that was his 5th today. So he's chasing history, and he's doing it on a team that's not good, but a team that's playing very, very well right now and finding ways to win series, finding ways to win games. Again today, I mean, the bullpen comes up huge, and Lewis Thorpe started this game. In spring training, I talked about Lewis, very excited about him, you know, because if you can turn Lewis Thorpe into a middle rotation starter, and he has the stuff, like he was striking out 11 per 9 in the minors, big time stuff, you know, a good slider, he can command 3 pitches, fastball is up at 92, 93 in spring training. If he gave you that, I think there's confidence that he can be a mid rotation starter. But he hasn't put it together. And now the velocity today at 86, 87 with the fastball. I think StatCast was having trouble figuring out what pitches he was throwing. Was it a changeup? Was it a fastball? They all looked the same on the velocity gun. And it was really hard to differentiate those pitches. But Thorpe gets pulled out with a shoulder injury again. He's had a bad shoulder all year. Injuries, ineffectiveness, you know, mentally wasn't there last year. Not in a mentally healthy place. And just it hasn't worked out for him in his major league career. I still believe in Lewis Thorpe. I'm going to continue to believe in Lewis Thorpe. And the reason for that is when I see his name on the probable sheet, maybe this is just naive and dumb and you're chasing what could be. But when I see his name, I still want to believe that there's a mid-rotation starter in there and that his emergence would be so big for the Twins that I just want to believe that it will happen. But it's never been further away and it's never been more unlikely than now that Lewis Thorpe is going to be a contributor for the Minnesota Twins. And that's really unfortunate for him and for the organization because, you know, he was a minor league standout and went through a bunch of injury issues and still battled his way back to get to the majors and just hasn't put it together and hasn't been able to stay healthy. And that sucks. And the Twins forced to use a lot of their bullpen today. And most of those guys did really well. Juan Minaya had a down day. And Cleveland was kind of killing him with a million paper cuts. Like, they were putting runs on the board almost every inning. And it felt like a game, again, that the Twins were going to lose, much like last night's game that was kind of a clunker from the offense. Bailey Ober pitched very well last night, I thought, again. And he's been very, very good since July 1st, you know, giving the Twins a chance to win in a lot of games. But today just felt like one of those, again, when Thorpe got pulled with the bases loaded. I think there was nobody out at that point. It didn't feel good. And they found a way, and that's what they've been doing for the last couple of weeks, finding ways to win these series. It's funny how one game can change the whole feeling of a series, right? Because if they lose today, you lose the series, you feel, you know, you're down. They lost last night. They probably should have won last night. They had the bases loaded and nobody out and scored run twice, and they scored one run in the whole game. Like, I think they should have won last night, had opportunities to win last night. And then if you go out there and you lose today, it just sucks. You know, you left that game on the table last night and then kind of a clunker today. But they found a win, and I'm looking at Lewis Thorpe's fastball velocities. Yeah, 89, 89, 88.8, 88.5. He's just not going to play with velocity like that. It's not going to play at this level. His secondary stuff isn't good enough. And honestly, like, if you throw 88 with your fastball today in today's MLB, I just don't think you can be reliable. You're not going to get outs consistently. It's unfortunate, but it's true. I mean, there are exceptions to that rule. Dallas Keuchel is an exception to that rule. There's some other lefties, but even then, like, lefties, you think of like Jordan Montgomery for the Yankees, who's very similar, but he throws 90, 91 as well. Like, there's a big difference between 90, 91, 92 and 88, 89. It's a big difference. And you've seen that difference with a guy like Bailey Ober going from 88, 89 to now 92, 93, and how much that changes things for him to get swings and misses. It's just that split second that fastball gets on a hitter and makes a difference. And Lewis Thorpe's just not going to do it with a fastball like that. It's not going to happen for him. Hopefully he gets healthy. Hopefully he comes back strong. And I, you know, maybe one more chance to show that he can be an asset. But again, like I said, it's never felt further away for him. Let's talk about the offense. Broke through there. Really, really nice breaking through in the fifth inning. Let's talk about that. And just an overall good game offensively for the Twins. This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Twins once a week. Yes, you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. Go download the free Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. I know you'll find a ton of incredible rooms around your favorite teams and leagues. Can't wait to join you all on the app. I'll be sure to let you know once the Locked On Twins room is live. Download the Green Room app today. That's Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. So the Twins get down 5-1. They go into the bottom of the fifth. Zach Plesac, I think this year, he hasn't been the same since the injury, but I think last year and into this year really has found it in a lot of ways. That slider's a great, great pitch. And when he's dialing that thing up, the fastball gets on hitters, and I think he has good stuff. I think Zach Plesac's going to be good for Cleveland, but just hasn't been the same. And he was rolling. Like, he was rolling for a lot of this game. Twins got a run there in the first, thanks to an error. But he was rolling, and all of a sudden, in the fifth inning, the Twins just jumped him. And I think the biggest takeaway from today is Miguel Sano having such a good day and putting together such good at-bats against Plesac, who has that great slider, and Miggy this year just not hitting off-speed pitches. You look at his profile, the damage he's done on fastballs versus breaking balls, it's a stark difference. And so for Zach Plesac, a tough righty, for Miggy to get on it and to hit a ball 475 feet and then hit a double that bounced up against the center field wall to really bust this game open and tie it up and get the Twins back in it, I mean, that's huge. That's huge for him. Andrelton Simmons gets in on the action with a double. Nick Gordon gets in, and it's just the next man up. And I think right now what you're seeing from the Twins offense, and they score 8 runs today, is, you know, save for last night, those games are going to happen. They're not going to win every night. The offense is not going to click every night. But guys are getting into this routine, right? You have Kepler, Rooker, Polanco, Donaldson, Arise, Sano. It's like that same 1-6 every single day. And I think guys are benefiting from that routine, not being shuffled. They're healthier right now, knock on wood. And I think everyone's benefiting from that offensively. And they're just moving the line. They're not trying to do too much. They're trusting the guy behind them. And it's hard not to blame, you know, some of these guys for trying to do too much earlier in the year when they were missing Buxton, or they were missing Donaldson, or they're missing Arise, or they're missing whoever. I mean, Polanco's been healthy all year. Kepler, it's hard not to blame them to want to try to do more. But I think right now they're seeing the guy behind them and the guys in front of them, for that matter, put together really good at-bats, and it's kind of it's contagious. It is. It's a contagious thing when an offense does that together, and the Twins have been doing that, and they did it in the fifth inning to get back in this game, take a 7-5 lead. That would last until Alexander Colomé blew it in the ninth. He was due for one of these. And as I said 2 days ago, like starting to talk about that option, it's going to work itself out. You know, and he was due for one of these clunkers here in the ninth inning, certainly. And what matters is that the Twins and their bullpen bounce back to put up zeros in the 10th and the 11th with the runner starting on second. Tyler Duffy, great job. And then at the end, Danny Coulomb, really good job. I thought it was a mistake to pitch to Jose Ramirez there at the end. And then the Twins got lucky. Max Kepler made a catch. And then, you know, the Twins made some really nice defensive plays today that helped a lot. Certainly, and help the bullpen, but you know, tip your cap to the entire bullpen. I know Mania struggled, but Ralph Garza Jr., who was great for two innings, struck out two. Caleb Theobar, another scoreless inning. Tyler Duffy, Danny Coulomb, Edgar Garcia came into a really tough spot. He ended up walking in a run, but still, you know, pitched an inning and a third, gave up just that run, struck out one. You got to give it up to the bullpen and these guys, considering the names and where this bullpen is right now. It really is impressive. And Ralph Garza Jr. especially has been really good for the Twins. And Caleb Theobar, 3.66 ERA now. I mean, that's really serviceable as a left-handed option there in the bullpen. And Tyler Duffy was good. I mean, he remains, I think, pretty reliable, not the same reliable that we got to know the last 2 years as being like their lockdown reliever outside of Taylor Rogers, and especially in 2020, their lockdown reliever, Tyler Duffy, with Trevor May and Clippard back there and Sergio. But he's, for the most part, I think still pretty reliable, and I trust him in a lot of situations with that knuckle curve. So you got to tip your cap to them. Tip your cap to Miguel Sano for a really nice day at the plate. Luis Arraez, who continues to spark the offense. He almost won the game on a walk-off, but Ernie Clement made a great catch at third base to kind of rob that from the Twins. You know, Donaldson came up in some spots today and didn't come through. Emmanuel Clase is nasty. And I thought it was really good that the Twins got through Clase. Probably a mistake for Cleveland to not pitch him a second inning in the 11th. They went to Wickren, and you just felt like it was going to end at that point. Clase is so, so good. I mean, he's nasty. 1.61 ERA, cutter at 102, unhittable. Brent Rooker gets, you know, Jake Cave pinch hits, comes in, ends up walking. That was a good plate appearance at the end. And I just think, for the most part, over these last 3 weeks of baseball where the Twins have won four series in a row, the last series they lost was in St. Louis, they've just played, they've taken good at-bats. And I'm going to keep saying that because it's true. You know, they continue to take good at-bats, trust the guy behind them. Nick Gordon, even today, you know, trusting the guy behind them to get the job done. If they can't, they'll take a walk. And I think Max Kepler went 0-for-6 today, so it doesn't exactly apply for him right now, is kind of the spark plug for that too, where he's taking these really good at-bats. He's taking his walks. He's hitting the ball hard. And again, save for today, they still scored 8 runs. Their leadoff man went 0-for-6. That shows you the middle of the lineup doing it and doing a good job. But I just think it's really been a good offensive effort. And this is a different Twins club than the one we watched for the first 2-3 months of the season. This is the best they've played in this entire season, in this four-month season now, going on 5 months. This is the best they've played the entire year. And Josh Donaldson said they're clicking on all cylinders. I think the starting pitching's been really good. And even when they don't get that good starting pitching, like today, Lewis Thorpe gave him an inning and a third, left with the bases loaded. And I think there was one out or no outs at that point. One out at that point, and the bases loaded. Still, they found a way to win this game. And that's the difference right now between this club and the club before that would have definitely lost that game, you know, a month ago, 2 months ago, for sure, if not lost that game when they were down 5-1 and wouldn't battle back and put together good at-bats, would have lost that game after they gave up those two runs in the ninth and this game was tied at 7. You would have seen an explosion in the 10th before. But it's a different ball club, I think. I think they're playing differently. I think they're playing a lot better on all sides. I mean, defensively, they've had their gaffes. They had a really bad night. Griffin Jax's start on Monday night, but overall defensively been good. Offense has been really good, and the starting pitching and bullpen have been solid enough to win a lot of games. Let's talk about last night's loss, Bailey Ober, because I just continue to be inspired and excited about Bailey Ober. Let's talk about him. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate and they're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar has 12 original flavors, but they've added 6 new flavors as well. And these improved Built Bars are even deliciouser. Plus, Built Bars are healthy. Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, full of protein, full of fiber, and great for a keto diet. And the peanut butter bar, only 5 grams of net carbs for a type 1 diabetic like me, that is huge. Plus, right now, Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch, so listen closely. You get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you also get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. My favorite flavors include the coconut almond, the peanut butter, the banana bread. Use promo code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, the NBA, the NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. That's promo code locked on. Promo code locked on. LOCKEDON. All one word for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. So Twins lose last night 3-1. Bailey Ober starts this game. First quality start as a major leaguer. And yeah, man, I think he shows over and over. And he's gonna go through struggles. Like, going through the lineup a third time was an issue for him last night. And for Griffin Jackson, it's been an issue too. And that's very common for not only these guys, but for even really good pitchers. Once a lineup sees you a third time, things kind of adjust and they change. But Ober, for the most part, just continues to show me and put confidence in me that I think he can be in the rotation in 2022. I think he really is solidifying himself into the rotation. Since July 1st, he's been really, really good, you know, learning from his mistakes, battling through adversity. The fastball is playing up. His sliders, he's throwing harder than ever. And his stuff is nasty. Like, his slider, I thought the other night or last night, looked really good. I thought it was biting hard, and he's going to miss some of them. It's not a great pitch. His fastball is a really good pitch and plays up. But his slider, I thought, looked good. And I just think he continues to show why I'm excited and why I think you should be excited about him. He's not going to be a world beater. Like, he's not going to be Jacob DeGrom. He's not going to be Jose Barrios even. But I think what he's going to be is what the Twins need, at least where they should start. And where they're going to start and where they're going to find success is continuing to churn out mid-rotation arms. Kind of like Cleveland does in a way. You know, with Zach Plesac, who's by no means Shane Bieber, who, like, once in a while you're going to hit. I think you're going to hit on a Shane Bieber once in a while if you continue to churn out mid-rotation options. You're going to hit on a big one like Cleveland did with Bieber, like Cleveland did with Kluber, like they did with Clevinger. You're going to hit on those at times. But I think if you just – the process is let's continue to churn out major league arms like Zach Plesac, Aaron Civale, Tristan McKenzie, all these guys that you see in Cleveland. They're the model. Tampa's another model for it, you know, more highly touted prospects than Cleveland. But if you can turn guys like Bailey Ober and Griffin Jackson, this is Lewis Thorpe falls into the same bucket, is probably not going to end up, you know, with the same results. You're going to find yourself in a really good place from a rotation standpoint. You're going to have that stability and you're going to have that confidence that you can continue to churn out guys. And what that gives you the ability to do is trade from that heap too, where you can improve your major league club because you say, hey, listen, we're confident that we can continue to churn out major league arms like Cleveland. Like, they feel comfortable trading Trevor Bauer. They feel comfortable trading Mike Clevinger because they know that the next guy is just waiting and they might not be as good as Clevinger or Bauer was, but they're going to help, you know, and you can have that confidence. It makes you way less timid and way less tight when you think about trading a young pitcher, a young prospect, a starting pitcher, it helps a ton. So if Bailey Ober, and I think he's going to be, if he can stay healthy, he's had health issues. That's the main thing for him. The numbers have never been a question. He's always dominated in the minors. Like, you look at his minor league numbers, it is video game numbers. And now at the major league level has been really good too. Health is going to be a big thing, as it always is with young pitchers. But if he can stay healthy, can remain in the rotation, I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to help the Twins win. And even you look at it right now, he's basically a league average starter right now, and that's with some blow-up starts, you know, with some starts where he was very, very bad in Chicago, a couple times at home where he wasn't great, a lot of times against the White Sox. But you look at it since July 1st, Bailey Ober has made 8 starts, 39 innings, 39 strikeouts, ERA 3.46, you know, opponent on-base percentage is 288. He's just a guy you can rely on right now. And if you can, you know, I got a tweet last night. It's like, great, we can build around 5 mid or back of the rotation starters next year. And that's not the point here. The point is, once you start, you know, turning guys like Bailey Ober, not turning them into, like, just able to produce and develop guys like Bailey Ober, it's this pipeline that gives you so much stability, and you shoot out major league, at least major league average regulars, that helps you a ton. And that's one of the hardest things you can do in the game, and it's much easier said than done. But I think we're going to start to see that, because what the Twins have done now is they've stockpiled young starting pitching, and some of these guys are going to pan out. Like, it has to happen, and if they don't, it's over. You know, they're going to have to go into a full-on rebuild at that point. I think you have to, like, the big ones matter. The top prospects matter. Jordan Balazovic matters. Yoan Duran matters. Joe Ryan matters. You know, the top 100 guys. But guys like Bailey Ober, who are not top 100, maybe not even top 10, not top 15 in the system, if you can turn those guys into mid to back of the rotation starters every fifth day, who can make 30 starts a year at a league average rate, that's a huge boost to the club. That is huge. I mean, if you can, instead of, that's like the difference between having to sign Jay Happ, an unknown commodity for $8 million, you know, veteran starters that you have to sign for $8, $10, $12 million every year. Instead of doing that, you can slot in Bailey Ober or Griffin Jacks that are making the league minimum, and that gives you flexibility on the rest of the roster too, and it also gives you that upside of working with that guy, knowing that they're going to be there for the next 5 or 6 years, and gives you that ability instead of a guy coming in, a veteran coming in. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, the Twins are still going to have to do that. You know, Cleveland really never has to do that because they always have young pitchers. The Twins are still going to have to do that once in a while, but you'd rather Bailey Ober be in the rotation than Jay Happ. You know, that version of Jay Happ, certainly. And you'd rather have the Twins save that money and maybe put it toward a top of the line starting pitcher, because what you can do is you can put Ober in there and maybe Jacks. You know, I'm not sold on Jacks. You got Maeda in there. It just gives you a lot more flexibility in the rotation if you can rely on Ober to be in it in 2022. And I think he's shown over and over that he can be in the rotation in 2022. I'm excited. Offense was dead, but Ober was good, and that's you know, you'll take that plus. Twins win today. Twins win the series. They're going to go to the Bronx for 4. Bullpen game tomorrow. Kenta's going to go Saturday against Garrett Cole. Friday night, I think, is Jacks. And then Sunday must be Ober again. I'm interested to see how he does at Yankee Stadium with the short porch and right. And the Yankees getting full strength with Rizzo back off the COVID list. And they are white hot at the moment, making a charge in the American League East. Twins will face them for 4, but why not now? Twins are playing their best baseball of the year. And as we know, the Yankees will stomp on it. But go Twins, see what they can do here. Be competitive, win game 1. That would be awesome. And just keep this thing rolling. Follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9. Follow the show at Locked On Twins. Thanks for listening. Go Twins, 5 days a week on the Locked On Twins podcast.